what the show you tune in is hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. And you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AMMM Shortwave Talk Radio.
The truth is on Talk Radio. Turn it on, turn it up and loud as it'll go.
Talk Radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report, live out of the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network, down here in Central Texas, folks. It is the third day of March, 2006, and the Barbara Samuelson 4x8 panels. These things are huge. Two of those are going up right in front of the network out here in Round Rock, Texas, folks. I hope the little policy-driven, greedy little critters out here in Williamson County are going to start paying attention, because we're awake, folks. We got the Roddy Piper glasses on. Yeah, that's right. That sucker can see. Coming up here, I've got, do we have a new number for him? Are we contacting him? Right now, we're talking about Steve Shank. Do we have, do we have Steve Shank yet? Are we making contact? Okay, we're getting him up right now. All right, that gives me a couple of minutes here for the Patriot Act renewal clears final hurdle. Laurie Kelman out of the AP wrote this story. Months overdue in the midterm election year, the USA Patriot Act renewal cleared a final hurdle in the Senate Tuesday on its way to President Bush's desk. But the bill's sponsors said he is unsatisfied with the measure's privacy protections and far from done tinkering with the centerpiece of Bush's war on terrorism. According to the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Magic Bullet Specter, Republican out of Pennsylvania, he said, those are my words, not hers, he said that he plans more legislation and hearings on restoring House rejected curbs on governmental power. Really, Arlen? This issue is not concluded, Will. The Senate voted on Tuesday 69-30. 60 votes were needed to limit debate and bring the bill to a final vote that could occur early as Wednesday. And I do believe, I don't have the updated information on that, but I do believe that it did pass. Senator Daniel Inouye, Democrat of Hawaii, did not vote. He abstained from it. First passed in the weeks after the 2001 terrorist attacks, the law has been extended twice for lack of congressional accord over the balance between civil liberties protections and law enforcement tools in terrorist investigations. Several Democrats voted no on the test vote Tuesday to protest the GOP majority's refusal to allow amendments, but said they would vote on the bill on the final passage. These lawmakers included Henry Reid, Democrat out of Nevada, Senator Pat Leahy, Democrat out of Vermont, and the Judiciary Committee's senior Democrat. Of course, Pat Leahy got up there. Oh, he was incensed. He looked legitimate. I must protect my phony baloney jirab, harumph. Now, others still plan to vote against the bill as a whole, but they stand little chance of blocking it, led by Senators Russell Feingold out of Wisconsin and Bob Byrd out of West Virginia. They contend that the months of haggling produced few meaningful curbs on governmental power. I'm trying to get through this quickly. Specter agreed on that point, even as he urged his colleagues to vote this week for the bill. He introduced a separate bill to make the government satisfy a higher threshold for warrantless wiretaps and to set a 4-year expiration date for the use of the national security letters in terrorism investigations. And last but not least, Senator Jim Bunning, Republican out of Kentucky, countered that the war on terrorism couldn't wait for more debate. Civil liberties do not mean much when you are dead.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
We went through 1999, Y2K. Well, we all know how that turned out. And I've had people that have since backtracked on it and said that, well, Y2K, I didn't believe it was going to be the emergency that they purported it was going to be, and, well, I was just above that whole fray. Well, in actuality, folks, what the real deal in 1999 was, that not that your streetlights were going to malfunction. Who gives a hoot about a malfunctioning traffic light? That's just programming that can be fixed. What the real deal was during Y2K in 1999, what they could not afford to have happen, was the American people panic, run down to their local banks, and demand their money. Why? Because it wasn't there. They printed as much money as they possibly could to put it in reserve, to pass it out to people, to pacify them, but they realized that was not going to work. What they did diligently is take the banking systems across this country to update their mainframe computers, the software, the periphery stuff, get it all back online and up the snuff. By February, March of 1999, that was fully in place. The emergency, hence, was over, pretty much, large part. But that was the deal. They couldn't stand a run on the banks. Remember It's a Wonderful Life? Oh, that's right, with Jimmy Stewart. Donna Reed, remember the storyline there? He was the head of a faltering savings and loan constantly on the edge of bankruptcy. And what was he concerned about? Remember, Uncle Billy lost the deposit? They wanted to throw him in jail. What they were worried about was the run on the savings and loan, people demanding their money, which was not kept in their vault, folks. Why? Because of fractionalized reserve banking. They just don't have the cash available. So that was the big deal about Y2K. And all you had to do is follow the money to see exactly where that money was going to do the upgrades that were necessary to keep everybody calm, to keep everybody pacified, to take the emergency out of that potentially bad situation. Well, they dodged the bullet. But Y2K exposed a lot of different things, and that's part of what I want to talk with Steve Shank about today. Steven, how are you doing this afternoon?
Having all the fun I can possibly tolerate, John.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I understand. You were responsible for bringing a lot of these food companies into the fold in 1999, were you not?
Yeah. We had a lot of work that needed to be done. What was happening was that everybody and his brother's cousin's dog was hopping on the bandwagon and throwing every kind of misguided trash into cans and telling people they could store it for food because there was a legitimate run on food.
Right.
The problem is that I feared then, as we fear now, not for the people that don't have any food when this whole thing gets nasty, but for the people that think they have food that is not good and edible. And so a lot of the work that that we've done through the co-op here is to try and get information out to folks as to what they need to look out for and not put in some of the foods that are being reported as good stuff and that people not knowing any different will put in because it makes sense. But just one simple example, and then I'll go on from there, is flour-based mixes. It makes sense to the average person that's never had to live on a stored supply that it would be just handy to have some ready-made roll mix and pancake mix and things all ready to go. The problem is that when you open that can, it only has about a two-year shelf life because the flour will go rancid, the raising ingredient goes flat, and there's a slight chemical reaction between the other ingredients, and as a result, you have trash, not food.
Right.
But that's just one of the types of things. So very simply, we've been at this for about 25 years. We have been almost become a clearinghouse when people have old food supplies. They can call us, and we'll tell them if they tell us the brand name and the time period that they bought it in. We can tell them whether they should depend on it or whether they maybe better replace it. And we just generally put together supplies that are the most of the very best for the least. And we're not suppliers. We order on behalf of families from suppliers that we trust not to use genetically altered stuff. The main thing that our message has become, and we're now completely revamping our website in accord with that. We've got meetings later on this afternoon to be just strictly a help site so that people can go there and get some good, straight, legitimate information as to what they put in.
And I want to bring this up because what you're describing here is that you do actually care about people. You're not just a business guy that has a business fulfilling a certain need out there. I want people to understand something about the J. Michael Stevens Group, and especially Steve Shank here, because you told me something, and I'll tell you what, you're near and dear to my heart because I think we are on the very same page. I think we're cut out of basically the same kind of cloth.
That's scary, John.
It is and it isn't. I've been known to have a temper. And it is true, because I have very little tolerance for BS and people lollygagging and wasting my time. But what you have done, you put a lot of businesses in the food preparedness business out there. You've set them up. You've helped to set them up. And since that time, you just didn't bail out when the market dried up. You stuck with this because you saw the absolute need to provide a service for people out there. because it wasn't about Y2K, folks. And if you're thinking food shortages, I'll get that out. Food shortages are not going to be an issue here in the coming future. Well, then you're listening to the wrong program. You're not plugged in properly. And Steve, I just want to let people know that you expended all of your own personal assets to maintain your company when the business fell flat on its face. A lot of people weren't buying storable foods and weren't looking out and not putting that insurance policy away. You stayed online, liquidated your assets to keep your business running because you knew that it was going to be necessary in the future.
Well, you see, the interesting thing, John, is let me just make a comment to your listeners right now. I've given a lot of lectures, and I've run a lot of seminars, training programs and things like that, whether it's with regard to food or anything else. One of the things that I've learned is that people, if they want to learn something, they grab a piece of paper and a pen and they take notes. Let me suggest that some of the material that you and I are going to cover here in this next 45 minutes is going to be noteworthy. So any of your listeners that are not driving, or maybe if you can steer with your knee and hold the telephone, hold the phone in your hand at the same time and write, that's fine. Get a pad of paper and a pen and write down some notes. One thing that you want to write down is an 800 number. It's 800-409-5633. That's the co-op. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group. I'm not telling you to write that down so that we can sell you something. I'm telling you to write that down because some of the material that John and I are going to cover here in the next little bit, you're going to need more information. You need to be defended from marketers out there that are very simply looking at this as a wonderful opportunity to make a buck. You're not making a buck. You're surviving. You're thinking the decisions that you make are going to be life-threatening and life issues over the next week to 2 weeks with regard to food supplies. So write down 800-409-5633. I know that you're going to cover up my answering. We don't, at the co-op, we don't have a huge staff. But your message will go to an answering machine. We will clear it as fast and as often as we can. I can only take 100 messages. We've overpowered that the last couple of days. But if you don't get through, then keep this number. Call it tomorrow. Call it the next day until you get a message to us, and we will respond. Enough of that said. Okay, back to you, John.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. But I just want people to know that you came on board. And I understand that you Richie Mack works with you, right?
Yeah, Richard Mack and I have known each other for quite some time. In fact, in 1997, when he got home from his meeting where he had just filed the papers to blow the Brady bill out of the water, I was sitting in his home. He was late by 20 minutes for an appointment at 8:30 that I had to talk to he and his wife about putting in a supply of food, and we put his supply in that night. And that's how I met Richard Mack.
Well, and I've known Richard for a number of years, and I got on his bad side one day because he used to be an undercover cop. And, of course, being an undercover cop, he would dress up in the garb and he'd grow his hair long. And he showed me a picture one day, and I laughed out loud, and he took great offense to that. And I looked at him, and I said, Richard, I said, I'm not laughing at you. I said, I'm laughing with you, but unfortunately, you're not laughing. But he took exception to that because, you know, he was doing an important thing, and he just thought I was just minimizing what he was doing. But, yeah, you're talking about a guy, the only guy, I think, on the planet Earth here that has seen the movie with, what was that, Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic. He's actually seen it more times, I think, than I have. So the next time you see him, ask him, how many times, Rich, have you seen Titanic? And he'll blow you away with his response. But at any rate, Richie Mack is a very, very good guy. He's been an upstanding guy for a number of years. Never caught this guy in a lie, any shenanigans, anything else. He's as true blue an American as you'll ever find. And that's the reason I bring that up, is because that's indicative of the people that hang around with Steve Shank. You will know them by their fruits, folks, and the company that they keep. Tell you what, we'll take the break, come back on the other side, and get into more of this issue about survival, folks, and what you need to know. Don't forget that number. If you're driving down a highway right now with your knee, 800-409-5633. We'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Talking with Steve Shank, the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633. By the way, the website, we need to mention the website, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com. And continue, Steve.
Okay, what I want to talk about today, John, is something that just hit me like a ton of bricks. About 3 weeks ago, I got a call from a little gal down in Blanding, Utah, the wife of a veterinarian. She had been involved with the co-op just from the standpoint that she needed to put in some food. And she and I got pretty well acquainted. She pointed out the fact that the veterinarians had just gotten notice from the U.S. Department of Agriculture with regard to the chip implants in all farm animals in the country. What that means to a lot of people is absolutely nothing. You got to realize what's happened in our country is that everybody has gone to the law of me, and they're wanting to build their own house, and they want to have their nice new car, and they want to ignore what happens to everybody else. And when something happens to one member of this society, it happens to all of us. But the problem with the American public is they look and say, oh, there, but for the grace of God, better you than me, Melvin. And so when the liberties and rights are taken away, we got a problem. Now, let me tell you something that has been the principle that this country was built on. as the American farmer goes, so goes the nation. Repeat that. And write this down, folks that have had the common sense to get a pen. As the American farmer goes, so goes the nation. You might think that manufacturing cars is the big deal, but if you don't feed the population of this country, you got a problem. And the American farmer has a problem right now, which means you have it. Let me refer to an article that I wrote back in 1995. It was called Food the International Media War. Now, I don't mean to get on a pedestal, but I'm going to get on a pedestal, Sean. What that pointed out is that every time a country goes totalitarian, in other words, every time they go socialist, which is the direction they're taking us or have taken us, there is a male fist of totalitarianism. There are four fingers to that fist. Number one, they always grab the weapon. They take the weapons out of the hands of the population, and they must be technologically less advanced than the policing organization. They grab the kids, stick them in government-run schools, which will teach them rewritten history so that they remember how they want them to remember. The third thing is that property rights are. And the fourth thing is that they always control the medical care of the people.
Well, let me do a quick history pass. I just checked all four of those categories. Those are all in place.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But now, here's the thing. The thumb that closes the male fist of totalitarianism. You've got the four fingers right there. But the thumb that closes the fist always has been, is now, and forever will be food. If you think that you can maintain your liberties without being self-reliant, listen to this quotation. It was put out by an absolute genius. The extent to which we're dependent on outside resources for our sustenance is the extent to which we have given away our liberty and our freedom. And to those people that we give that liberty, in other words, those people and the organizations on which we are dependent, we give them power over us to the extent of our dependency. We're living in a welfare country. But now let's talk about the American farmer. The reason that JMS struggles, we negotiate probably every week to find suppliers that we trust. And by trust, we mean they don't use genetically altered food. They don't use imports from Mexico where they raise food with insecticides and fertilizers that have been illegal here for 35 years.
We've discovered, unfortunately, that they were sending tomatoes over into this country that were actually fertilized by human feces.
That's called black water, my friend.
Uh-huh.
That was the next thing on my list. And you see, that kind of food will make you glow in the dark, walk sideways, and one eye travel to the other side of your head, figuratively speaking. But you see, what happened just not too long ago is all of the foreign countries, including the European bloc, which is now purporting the euro, which is another story for us, have outlawed the importing of American-grown genetically altered food. Now, how much is there? Well, the five major agri-corps that control about 90% of the growth in this country are putting out almost all that stuff. Now, if they can't sell it overseas, guess where they're putting it? They're feeding it to our people. Okay, so if you want to store food, what you've got to do is you've got to thread the needle. You have to find somebody that's dumb enough to go out there and spend a lot of time finding companies that don't use genetically altered food to pack it in cans. And they better be American-made cans because the Chilean cans don't hold their integrity for more than 3 or 4 years. It better be dried down to about 2% moisture, otherwise it'll rot in the can. And there are a whole lot of other stipulations, but the fact is that if these foreign countries won't take our genetically altered garbage, we're feeding it to our American public. So what happens now is we have a situation with the oil issues where the American dollar is dropping like a rock in terms of value.
All right, we're coming up on this break. We've got to take it. 800, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, 800-409-5633. The website, efoodsdirect.com. We'll come back on the other side here with Stephen Shank from the J. Michael Stevens Group right after this short break.
You're listening.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let me encapsulate this as to what we're talking about here. The J. Michael Stevens Group are not required to order on your behalf. That means from any one supplier. In other words, if you make an order with these people, if they're not happy with a product that they're getting from a supplier, you're not obligated to take it, and they're not obligated to buy it, nor will they. We select the ones we trust based on the intimate awareness of all the sources. In other words, they know their suppliers almost better than the suppliers know themselves. Now, this guarantees us the best possible products. Then we combine a large number of orders into a huge block shipments in which we can negotiate the very best volume pricing. So what that means to you folks, without getting into a lengthy explanation about that, you get the mostest, the bestest, for the leastest. Now, this approach guarantees our families and yours the very most, the very best, for the very least. Well, I just said that. You can tell I'm reading here. Now, they don't buy cheap, often tainted, imported goods to process. Foods are dried from raw and are closer to garden fresh than any other option out there available. All foods, now this is important, because you people, Y2K, you're starting to scratch your head going, well, I got some of that preparedness food left. I wonder if it's any good. You better make sure. You better call them at 800-409-5633, and they'll be honest with you and tell you exactly if your foodstuffs are going to be dependable into the near future or not. All these foods have a 12 to 15-year shelf life. And for us to believe this claim, talking about the Michael J. Stevens Group, they must be real-time tested at 24 to 26 years. Okay. Short shelf life products are not being used to give the appearance of variety. Now, particularly products that contain flour and mixes with raising ingredients. In other words, yeast and stuff like that. And large enough reserves are maintained to prevent back orders. Now, if you folks remember Y2K, good luck. There were people trying to buy food hand over fist, and you were in a waiting line. And at that point in time, people were getting desperate. They didn't care what they were getting, just as long as they had food, because, well, Y2K was only going to last for, what, a year? Well, there's a problem with that. So at any rate, continue if you would.
Well, what I was saying was that food is always the control mechanism. To give you an idea about guns, we just, Richard and I went down about a year ago and talked to some folks in Austin, Texas that were involved with the Gun Owners of America and some of the Republic of Texas folks.
If you would, just keep talking. I'm going to leave the studio for a second to go tell this guy on his Harley to shut up, because we're doing live programming here. So, Steve, I know you won't run out of gas. Just keep talking for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, very simply, you know, you've always got the old boy that figures he's got a 30-06 with 2,000 rounds of ammunition he'll always be able to provide for his family. But the thing that a lot of folks don't realize is that food is always the control mechanism for any of these issues. And what we're dealing with, well, just as an example, back during the Cuban Revolution, as you'd call it, when they brought in Soviet troops to back up Castro, they didn't go out into the hinterlands and try and rout those guys out of the hills in Cuba. They just surrounded the warehouses. And in the process of doing that, they cut off the food supply out there, and they were able to play guns for food and disarm Cuba in about a month. The interesting thing that happens is, if you folks want to call in or email me, we'll get you a copy of the article, and I think you'll find it very interesting. But there's another article right now, and this is out of Texas. This is from a little magazine called Acres USA. It's primarily designed for farmers and ranchers, but it's available to everybody. They are talking about this microchip that they're going to stick in all of the livestock. Now, what's happening to the ranchers and farmers? Let me summarize it real briefly. What they've required is that every critter, including your parakeet, every chicken, every cow, horse, pig, whatever, on every ranch, first of all, that ranch or farm has to be registered, and then every critter has to be identified with the chip and registered to that farmer. Now, a lot of folks look around and they say, okay, so what's happening to the farmers and the ranchers? And what does that mean to us? It means the closure of the entire loop on food supply. Think about it, guys. What we've got in the grocery stores and the big chains is we have basically those little savings cards. Well, they can track the food. And you notice that Walmart doesn't have a savings card because they're tracking it through your check or through your credit card. Now, if we've got all the food tracked there, every little apple and every pear has a little sticker on it, and then we go to the farms and we identify every living creature and put a chip in it so it can be tracked. Seeing that this article in Acres USA says is that they always do this under the auspices of disease control.
And you know who's been covering that extensively, much to his credit, is Derry Brownfield, which is on this network at 10 a.m. Central Time. He's been doing a lot on that.
Uh-huh. And the interesting thing is that what people, I've talked to a lot of people, John, and nobody has connected the dots. Here's the way it works, as per this little gal that I've had conversations with, who's a veterinary's wife. They require the veterinaries to police this. They have to go out and register every farm. Now, in Texas, which is the flagship for this thing, apparently they're using Texas as an example here. In Texas, if they don't register their farm or their ranch, they'll be charged $1,000 a day until they do. That's the plan. Okay, they have to have every critter registered to that farm or ranch. Now, what that means, they're doing it under this disease control thing. And you might connect some of the other dots connected with this with regard to the bird flu. That's a whole other program, John, but this bird flu is the biggest hoax you ever saw. They always do it based on disease control. Here's the theory. They got a chip in your critter. You sell the critter to a packing plant. The packing plant runs it through all these disease pens and things like that, and if it's not perfectly healthy, it comes down with creep and crud. And they're saying that if somebody gets sick from that critter, they can now track that back to you, and you, the farmer or the rancher, get to be accountable for that critter being sick. Now, if you put this thing together, it's very insidious, because what happened way back when I was a kid on the farm in Minnesota, my dad was raising dairy cattle. They had a big government thing through the FDA where they were going to bangs test all the cattle. They bangs tested the cattle, and they basically culled out the herds, and they, for some reason they managed to find the highest milk-producing cows, and they killed them. A few years later, back in, I think, in the 80s.
Well, wait a minute. Back up here. Why would they want to track down the best-producing cows and kill them off? What was their official explanation for that one?
Oh, they were diseased and they were dangerous. Okay. They were diseased and they were dangerous.
Well, we had to get rid of these cows because we had companies out there that wanted to sell things to enhance the productivity of these cows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they needed vaccination.
Yeah.
And they needed all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring up the banks thing is that's the direction they're taking this chip. Okay, so little Melvin the rancher sells his cow, and they track it back to him, and guess whose herd gets hammered? Oh, they came from a diseased herd. So Melvin gets put out of business. Now, here's the interesting thing. Who's going to pay for putting the chips in? Melvin. Okay?
Well, this is another unfunded mandate from the United States government.
That's right. It started out initially as being voluntary, okay? Just like putting the chips in our kids so they don't get kidnapped and we can track them down if they do and all this kind of horse pucky. Well, the fact is, and it also had a deadline back in the year 2008, okay? It apparently has been forwarded to now, and they're moving on it immediately. And the thing is that in the name of disease control, they will be able to eliminate the small farmers. Now, also, every chicken has to have one of these things in. Now, here's the kicker, John. They're going to charge whoever they are. They're going to charge that little farmer that has maybe 25 chickens, $10 a chicken every year for as long as he owns the chicken.
He can't bring that chicken to market and sell it. He's going to lose money on every chicken that he's got.
Absolutely. So what's that going to mean? That's going to mean a lot of people are going to have to get rid of their chickens because they can't afford. Okay, let's say you got an honest-to-goodness chicken farm. My dad converted two of our barns to chicken coops and raised leghorn chickens and produced eggs. He had 2,000 chickens at one time. Okay, they weren't caged chickens, they were just, you know, free range, but he had 2,000 chickens. He would have to pay, guess what, $20,000 for 2,000 chickens every year. How long is he going to stay in business?
Well, he's not, unless you want to charge $9.95 a pound for chicken. And, you know, I have a friend of mine, and most people are familiar with his product. It's called the Aaronizer.
Yeah.
Ted Trakilis has this product, and he was going to chicken processing plants. We've all heard the horrors of salmonella.
Oh, yeah.
They tell you the dangers of the chicken, the salmonella, how to cook it properly to eliminate and this, that, and the other. Well, the salmonella happens a lot in chicken processing plants. He had the aeronizers, which would absolutely kill any salmonella or in infecting bacterias in the processing plants. Outside of the purview of the Food and Drug Administration, these agribusinesses were putting in these aeronizers to take care of the problem. You know, they're all supposed to be inspected by the by the government and given the seal of approval. Well, there was a problem there, so these people start putting in the technology that actually combated the problem. And the Food and Drug Administration and a company of henchmen from the United States government made a big to-do about, well, you can't use that. Well, why? Well, it's not been approved by the government.
Mm-hmm.
This shows you the hypocrisy where thinking individuals see a problem and outside of the bureaucracy find a way to deal with it. That's not government approved. You can't do that. And we'll fine you, and if you don't stop it, we'll shut you down.
Absolutely. And you see, the interesting thing is that these little ranchers and farmers, some of them aren't even little, are in a situation where they not only have to pay for the fee that they have each year, the $10 a head, but they're going to have to police it. Here's the way it works, John, and I don't see where anybody is concluding this. First of all, with all the critters, they're controlling the protein production in the country. If you look at any diet issues, any health issues, protein, the proper quantities of protein is the issue in every society that you have. Where do they get their protein? They're controlling all the protein. But the fact is that let's say Melvin has all his stuff registered. He pays his fees. And you're a good friend with Melvin, John, but you don't want to take the national ID card. You don't want to take the mark. You don't want to be numbered among the sheeple. And so you hang on to your food storage for about 2 years, and you run out, and you go to Melvin. You say, Melvin, we're good friends. Can you get me a chicken? I got to feed my family. Melvin won't dare because he is accountable for the chicken. If he gives that to anybody who is not properly identified, then he gets hung. If he allows it to be stolen, he's still accountable for it. You see, they don't have to have hundreds and thousands of police running around. They don't have to have a situation where they have somebody that's watching Melvin. Melvin has to be self-policing to survive. He can't give you a chicken. He can't let you steal a chicken unless you are properly identified.
And then that's assuming, of course, that Melvin is able to stay in business with a stiff licensing. But, you know, the thought occurred to me, but you know who will be still in business? Say, Tyson Chicken? Do you think they'll get variances on this thing? Because I can't see a big corporation paying $10 a chicken when they're dealing with millions of chickens every year. It just wouldn't be cost effective.
AgriCorp.
Yep.
AgriCorp.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So let's follow this down. The problem, John, we've brought up the problem, but the problem is that the majority of our country really doesn't give a rat butt. And here's why. During the 1929 Depression, 80% of the population of this country had some sort of ties to the small farm. They could go back home and pick up some victuals on the weekend, even if they were factory workers in the city. Right now, less than 2% of our population has a tie to the farm. Remember what I was talking about earlier in our conversation? If my ox isn't being gored, I just say, gee whiz, Melvin, better you than me, and I go about my business and I drink my Coca-Cola and I go sit out under a shade tree. Okay? What's happening is if the rest of the population doesn't get behind the farmers and the ranchers, doesn't get behind the food production in this country and just really become concerned about it, the food is not going to sustain life and we won't be producing our own. Mr. Gore, way back a long time ago, when challenged about the fact that we're importing so much of our food, said, well, don't worry about it. We'll be importing all of it in a short period of time. Remember what I said? The extent to which you're dependent on outside resources for your sustenance is the extent to which you've given away your liberty. Well, very simply, if this country does not produce its own food, and if we don't protect our own food, and we give control of our food sources to those guys, then what have we got for liberty?
Well, and those who control the food control the masses. And Steve, I know you know this. Back in the 50s, with technology that we had back then, we were using fertilizers, but it wasn't this re-engineered way of growing food. Back in the 50s, with present technology and the farm equipment that we had, we were able, in this country, we could feed the entire population of the planet, not just once, not just twice, not three times, not even four times, but we had the ability to feed this entire planet five times over. That's how rich this country really was. And you're exactly right, Steve. Clean water, good foods, these are the staples of life. And the corporate cabal is taking it over with the help of the government. Now, folks, do you know how to spell the word fascism? If you don't know what it means, go look it up in a dictionary. You need to understand what is happening here. This is another cog in the kind of the globalist plan here for the transnational corporations. But this is something that's going to affect you sooner than what you realize. And don't make the mistake, folks, of blowing this topic off. I hope you're paying attention. I only do programming here, folks, that is germane to our survival and, more importantly, for the continuation of this great republic that we have. So don't take this lightly. Pay attention to what we are saying here. I cannot stress this enough. And here's the other note that I want to throw in here, Steve. We don't have enough people yet to spread that message. If we do have enough people, they're lounging around, they're not acting as if we are out of time, and then more importantly, they are not waking other people up to the problems that we are having right now. And I'm going to put a little warning out here again. And I'm going to try in the future, I promise, not to get too excitable about this, because this turns some people off, because 15 to 20% of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You're acting as if we have no time left. You're spreading the message. You're bringing people to the table. You're feeding them the information, and that's great. I'm not talking to the 15 and 20% of you. I'm talking about the majority of you out there right now that are sitting by, being informational sponges, soaking it up. I hope you're feeling good about yourself, because now you're informed, and that's great. But you're falling down on your duty and your obligation as an American to inform our other Americans. And I know it's not easy all the time. Don't cry the blues here to this choir, because I fully understand that. That's one of the hazards of the job, okay? But I am speaking directly to you, 80 to 85% of you people sitting out there right now listening to this program. I am talking directly to you. So take this to heart.
Let's talk to the 20% for just a second, John.
All right.
I would make the suggestion that every one of you out there listening that wrote down this 800 number, 800-409-5633, that you take that number and you give it to five people. Just tell them to call it and ask for the information. We will make copies of this Acres USA article, and we'll ship it out with the rest of the stuff, including the copy of the article that I wrote, so that people can understand what's happening. You've got to realize, Stalin killed millions of his own people. In Germany, they killed millions of their own people. In Afghanistan, they were killing millions of their own people. In Iraq, they killed millions of their own people. How did they do it? Bullets are too expensive. You are not worth 35 cents for a 30-06 shell, an expensive one. You are much easier handled. You see, you have to go out and find them to shoot them. If you starve them, you just get them wherever they are. So the message is very simple. We can see it coming. We know it's here. The controls are here. The only way any family
is going to maintain their liberty to any extent. The only way that they're going to maintain their children, their property, their lives, is if they put in a storable supply of food. I'm sorry, your garden only lasts for one season. And if we have enough earthquakes and we have enough volcanic eruptions or they hit us with nukes, we'll have a nuclear winter. You won't be able to grow food. But if you have 2 to 3 years worth of food stored, the Bible Belt people that are calling JMS right now, who are politically aware and are watching the scriptures, are putting in a 3 and 4 year supply. Now, I gave a little seminar the other night. I was talking to a bunch of families that were very aware. They were very politically aware. And one of the little gals said, well, I'm doing all I can do. We've got a bunch of kids. My husband doesn't have all that great a job. And I said, we all are doing all we can do, but let's look at priorities. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, just as sure as I'm sitting here looking ugly, that on the 20th of March, everyone that had a supply of food would have to go on it. I don't want to talk about the reason or the logic as to why they'd have to go on it, but we know that at some point we will. Let's say that we know that on the 20th of March, you had to have your food in and you had to live on it for 2 years. Would you do anything differently than you would right now? You probably wouldn't call up JMS and say, well, I need 3 cans of potatoes this month, and we're going to put in 4 cans of carrots next month. And within 7 years, we'll have a year's supply for one adult. We've got 5 adults in the family. Okay? You would probably go out and hawk your house, your car, and anything else that you could to get the cash together to put in your 2 year supply or 3 year, whatever you decide that you need, and you'd have it by March 20th, because when you have to pop that can open, you ain't going to be able to get anyplace else.
We have less than 2 minutes left.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm taking too long.
No, that's fine. I'm just telling you, there's an end to every good thing, and we're coming very rapidly to the end of this one. Let me remind folks out there again. And you notice we weren't up here pitching products or prices or anything else. We're going to leave it to your discretion, ladies and gentlemen. If you're hearing the message that we've delivered here today, and they will help you. They're not, and you got to understand this. When Steve made the offer here, you can call him up if you have storable foods right now. He can track back by the manufacturer how it was processed, what foods they were using, how long that is good for. And he will tell you if your food storage is still viable. If not, you can talk to him or anybody else about buying food, but he's here to help you. This is the most important point. I don't deal with money-grubbing idiots out there. I deal with the good people, ladies and gentlemen. Birds of a feather, we try to flock together here. The website, efoodsdirect.com, the number. And he only has the ability to take 100 calls on his thing. Don't panic. You can call tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday or whatever. They go through the messages. They download them. They will get back to you. You need to call the number out there, 800-409-5633. And, Steve, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for hanging in there. And thank you for caring about us little Americans out here just trying to do an honest thing, live an honest life, and just survive day to day. We appreciate you very much.
Thanks, John, for putting up with us so far.
All righty. Well, we'll be in contact again, and people will hear from you via this network. Well, your ads are up there running right now, folks. Please consider what we have told you today. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Get prepared. Put it away, and then forget about it. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, John.
All righty, sir. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you back here Monday.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.